Are you ready? Welcome to Radio Grognard King Size, the OSR podcast with more stuff, with your host, Glenn Hallstrom.
Hiya, folks. Old man Grognard here. Hope you're all doing well. It's a nice day. Hey, you got a problem? Well, look around you. Maybe you can fix it or find a solution or something. We'll talk about that after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. I wanted to talk about location, sort of. I was impressed a long time ago. I never cared for, I didn't collect comic books, let me put it that way. But I had a roommate one time who was a big comic collector. He had a pull list on at the comic store and everything. And I would look through his comics. I'm more of a graphic novel kind of guy, you know, one and done stories. But I happened to glance through an old copy of Captain America, and there was a scene where Cap falls off like a 10-story building. And you think, okay, that's it. He's dead. He falls off the building, but he does not die because on the way down, he sees stuff like ledges and awnings and things, and he can position his body enough to run into those things. Yes, it hurts. He will be bruised. He will be hurt, but he will be alive because it slows down his fall. And he slows down, and he knew enough to do that. So he ended up on the ground. Yeah, he was battered and bruised, but he was still alive. He may have, in D&D terms, he may have taken like half his hit points, but he's still alive. That reminds me of Groke, my barbarian, in a 5e campaign. Groke had a terrible AC. I mean, a terrible one. I mean, it was more like a... It was, okay, this is 5e, so it was like he was an 11 or 12 or something like that. He would always get hit. But the thing is, he had a lot of hit points. When that campaign ended... It was a 2-year campaign. And when it ended, he had like 200 hit points. So what does that look like? Okay, what that looks like is he's basically John McClane from Die Hard. He will get beaten up like you wouldn't believe, but he'd come out of it alive. You know, he'd stand there with his clothes torn, bruised and battered, but he's still going. He's still alive. And that's what was his saving grace. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. I tend to get off on tangents. Anyway, this is the thing I think that GMs should think like a player. I mean, players think like players, but GMs should think like players on an occasion. And as far as like solving a problem, I'm big on the 3-clue rule. Because, yes, the players can come up with something on their own, which is great. I'll use that. But you should come up with a couple of things that they can solve this if they think about it. And, you know, that's where you can drop hints and stuff. But anyway, using your environment, your location for an encounter is very good. I mean, I read that. I remember I read that Cap issue, and it had such a profound effect on me when I created my character Direwolf for Champions. He was very much a street level. He had a magic ring, but he had like a gun that shot rubber bullets and a net and stuff. He was more Batman than Moon Knight. He was sort of a Moon Knight knockoff, but he was more, he would use his wits, and he was like perfectly trained and all this other stuff, the peak of human whatever. But And he would use the ring sometimes, but he never used it to enhance anything. It was more like a deterrent. But he would look around in his area and go, okay, there's a ladder over there. There's a dresser over there. And what can I, you know, this thing's coming to attack me. How will I do this? And he had great acrobatics and things like that. And he would look around. I loved playing that character. I'd love playing with him because he was like, he knows I'm not all that super powered. So I got to make up for it by being like super, super aware of my area where I am. And for some reason, one of the reasons why he didn't use his ring so much is because for some reason, the game master always had him fighting robots and they didn't respond well to magical stuff. You know, about half the stuff in that ring I couldn't use on robots. Anyway, but beside that, but he would do that. So I would think like a player. I mean, I've been a player for a long time. That's why as a GM, I'm not as hard bound as like other GMs can be from the OSR or anywhere else. Because I've been a player, I know what it's like to be a player. But at the same time, I want to challenge my players. So this is what I pass along to GMs and players. Players should be aware of their area, whether down in a dungeon or in a forest or in the town. Be aware of what's around you and what you can use. Now, as a GM, what I would do is, say you're doing a dungeon crawl. Say you're doing an adventure that takes them down into a dungeon, and you have the map there, and you know maybe it's a module, who knows? But you have because there's a lot of good modules that are just dungeons, which I think those are wonderful because then I could just take just a dungeon and place it as part of my story. So what I think you should do is take the map of the dungeon, and if you have any descriptions like you know the key to it, where the module gives you, okay, this is this room, this is that room, blah blah blah, or you wrote it up yourself saying this is this and that is that, I would take time during my prep to zoom in on, you don't have to zoom in on every single room and corridor in that dungeon, especially if you've got like a big one. I don't like to do dungeons over 12 rooms, mainly because I just don't want to deal with like some kind of mega dungeon thing. But anyway, try and find out which rooms are the most likely to have action in them, whether it's encounters or a trap or a puzzle or whatever it is, and zoom in on that room and find out, okay, what's there? What is not there and I can put in there for the players? Say the room is a barracks for a bunch of monsters. What's in a barracks? Beds, mostly. Maybe bunk beds, probably not. They may have a chest at the foot of each of them with their stuff in it. There may be stuff, you know, that kind of thing. That's basically your barracks, okay? Maybe you got in the back, you got a bucket or something for a toilet or whatever. Maybe they go out in the hall. Maybe there's an outhouse. You know, they built an indoor thing, whatever. But, okay, that's what you got. That's your basics right there. And I look at it and go, okay, can I put some other cool stuff in here that maybe they can use if I put an encounter in here? Which I probably will. Say they run into a bunch of orcs, you know, lounging around or playing, rolling dice or reading or cleaning their weapon. And say there's about, a half a dozen of them there. And the players come in and they jump them. Okay, what's around that room you can use? Okay, stuff like, how are the beds? Are they hard and flat? Are they real bouncy? Great. I bounce from one bed to another while swinging my sword, says the dwarf. And, you know, do that. Or if you can get out of the way, maybe this barracks used to be like a stable and it still has the rings on the wall. Oh, you can do a lot with those rings. You can grab them and flip around. If you got some acrobatics, you can tie stuff to them. Maybe tie one across from the other, and you can clothesline, you know, carry things like that. So that's what I like to encourage in my players. Think like that. But as a GM, you got to put the stuff in there for them. You know, And I'm not saying you get ridiculous and it turns into like a gym or something like that. But find out, pick, like say in a 12-room dungeon, pick six rooms where you can look at and go, okay, I mean, they may not even run into those six rooms. Odds are they'll run into at least one of them because of the way dungeons are built. So you would have it ready to go there. Say it already had a built-in encounter or a built-in trap. How can you put stuff in there where they can circumvent the trap? Like the aforementioned rings in the wall. That could work. Say they got a pit of acid they have to get across. Well, the pit of acid is there because it used to be a stable, but somebody flooded it with acid. You know, it doesn't even matter. But you got the rings in the wall. You take a rope, you know, throw a rope across or something like that. Maybe there are some stairs that go down like two steps and then you're in the acid. You could do something with that. Maybe some kind of jump or something. I don't know. Swinging across, sure. Maybe there's something in the ceiling you can hook up to. But anyway, you get my drift, okay? Just put the stuff in there for your players. Yeah, it works that way. Anyway, I got to go start my day. Hope you like that. And if you guys want to talk to me about this or anything else, oldmangrognard@gmail.com or drop me a voicemail on Anchor. We are monetized. So as little as 99 cents a month, you too can help support this program. And I would thank you for single donations. My Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/oldmangrognard. Or my PayPal tip jar, paypal.me/oldmangrognard. Let me thank these people who do give to me monthly. Jason from Morrow Project, Gilbert Sars, and Benjamin Brodell. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. For other good podcasts, for other good podcasters, Dan Griggs, the Young, Y-U-N-G, Young Grognard podcast, Kevin at the Red Caps podcast, Daniel Norton's Bandits Keep podcast, Randy and Joe's Biggest Geekest podcast, Big John Allen Large's The Red Dice Diaries, and my friend Eric Tinker's Tavern Chat. So, until I see you folks next time, keep the dice warm and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You got questions? You got comments? Send them to oldmangrognard@gmail.com. Tune in next time when Radio Grognard King Size is on the air.